Okay. Lord, thank you so much for this great time together with my brothers and sisters all over the place. And Father, we just praise you that you're in charge. We ask, Lord, that you direct us, you guide us to what you want us to do tonight. I thank you for it, Father. And just like George said the other day, you know, Lord, we want you to be on the throne of our heart. And we praise you for that, Lord, because we know that you are. As we die and allow you to take over, and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're in, because we know we're getting close. We're getting close. And I know, Lord, that you've given us bold faith to believe what your word says, and we trust you, Lord, to fulfill those promises that are in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the standard of the word of God that teaches us how to walk and how to live. And we just praise you, Father, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Because I believe in miracles. I believe in great, bold miracles happening, fixing to happen all over this world, Lord. I know in times past, we've had little spots of here and there of great miracles happening because of people's faith and because of your grace and your mercy, Lord. But I know in the days ahead, with your people, you're going to use them in mighty, mighty glorified ways, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight will be the start of that. I'm asking you, Father, to let the weight of your glory just fall on every one of us tonight. Oh my, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That would be awesome. I'm asking you, Lord, for an open heaven tonight. You gave us authority over all the power of the enemy, and in the name of Jesus right now, I come against any kind of hindering spirits, any kind of witchcraft curses right now. I block them, bind them up, and cast them out of here in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be any kind of interruptions whatsoever. And we just praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do this evening. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, that we would be guided by that still small voice. And we praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for tonight's fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here comes Andrew and Denny and Barbara. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for those miracles. Amen. I think that's Tracy. All right. Anybody got any prayers? Okay, Leon, go ahead, brother.
My niece, her name is Kelly, is in the hospital, and I'm not exactly sure why she's in there or for what the cause is, but apparently she's in pretty bad shape. Now, she has had MS and a whole litany of things. Her father was a drug addict. That was my brother. And, you know, she could be the effect of all of that stuff that he did when he was young. But anyway, I'd like to pray for her. She is a Christian, or she professes to be a Christian. It's probably like one of the denominational Christians. But at least she has called on the name of the Lord. But if you wouldn't mind praying for her, I'd appreciate that.
And, okay. What did you say was wrong with her?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I just know she's in the hospital, and they say she's pretty bad, but I didn't get the cause of her being in the hospital.
Okay. Well, let's just pray for her. Lord, we lift up Kelly to you. We break the power of the enemy over her right now in Jesus' name. We bind you up and cast you off of her in the name of God. Lord, I thank you that right now you're working on her. You're showing her the things that she needs to do to get right with you, Lord. If she's been in the denominational churches, the apostate religion, Lord, I ask and I pray, you break that off of her right now in the name of Jesus. We break it off of her in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for opening up her spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of this spirit of infirmity off of her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is completely delivered of all of that. I break the curse of any kind of generational curses spoken over her in Jesus' name. Any kind of soul ties from her dad or mom or anybody, as far as that goes, in the name of Jesus, we break them off of her right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that Kelly is a born again, saved by the blood of Jesus, delivered by the blood of Jesus. That every organ in her body, every corpuscle, every cell in her body be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare and decree that she's in the kingdom, and not only in it, but she's in it in a mighty way. She's jumping head first, Father, and we just praise you for that in the name of Jesus. We believe it. Lord, we thank you for sending people around to minister to her. And Lord, we just ask you do this. Lord, we ask that you open her mind and her eyes to see when Leon calls and ever gets a hold of her, that she'll listen to him as if he were you, Lord, because he has words of wisdom for her that'll open her eyes to see that she don't need to be in this kind of mess, that she can be free in Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let me let these people in. Got people out there beating on the door. Yes, sir. I believe it, don't y'all? I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her right now. Okay. Rebecca and Katie, go ahead. Let me unmute you.
Okay, so my... Well, for the past 10 years, I've worn glasses or contacts. Like, my vision was always pretty bad. And about a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to me loud and clear that he was going to heal my eyes. And I walked it out for a day, and I was super excited. And then all of a sudden, like, vanity and then familiarity kind of kicked in, because I was so used to wearing my glasses, I kind of wanted to keep wearing my glasses. I guess it's silly now looking back, but I wanted to keep wearing them, so I kind of asked God not to do it, as silly as that is. But then a few days ago, he laid it on my heart again that he wants to heal my eyes and that I got to have faith and walk this out. So, and this came when I was fasting, and then after my fast ended, I decided, okay, I'm going to do this for real this time. I'm not going to waver this time. I'm not going to go back and forth. I'm going to believe it. So yesterday, I took off my glasses, and I've been walking it out, so just prayer for my eyes and agreeing in faith that I am totally healed and that I will be able to see perfectly.
Okay, absolutely. Well, you just said it. In the name of Jesus right now, we declare her eyes to be completely healed. The Lord declared it some time ago, and sometimes in our vanity, We don't trust the Lord. But Lord, I know that she's doing it now. She's trusting you. This is Katie, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we command those eyes to be healed, that she can see 20/20 vision right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for putting bold faith in her. And Lord, and that enduring faith to walk this out in Jesus' name. And by the stripes of Jesus, She's already healed 2,000 years ago, her eyes. And we just thank you, Lord, for the great testimony she's going to have, that, and you're going to get the glory, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Katie's eyes are completely healed right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for that. Thank you, Lord, that her eyes are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Ooh, my. You're going to be able to read that number 6 font in that Bible, I tell you. That's what you're going to do.
I can read up close perfectly, but just far away, I could never see. So
you can now declare.
Yes.
Amen. Speak it. Confess it. Somebody said, "Where's your glasses? Don't need them anymore." God's healed them.
Amen.
You'll see it happen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Bless you. Go ahead, Missy.
Amen. Lord, help Katie to confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses.
Amen.
And hold fast the confession of her hope that it waver not, for you are faithful that promise, Lord. Amen. Well, I had an interesting conversation with my mom earlier, and it was a tough conversation, and in a way, I was kind of complaining about my conversation with my mom, if anybody heard. But it was just, I wasn't really meaning to complain. It was more like, it was just a tough conversation, in that the Lord just really came through and gave me wisdom and led me through it. And it was tough because, you know, when you hear, "Yeah, buts" all the time. But I thank you and I praise you, Lord, as well as for my whole family. Lord, for your preserving, your healing and restoration of them all and always, Lord. And in particular, right now, I want to pray for my brother. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being very merciful to my brother. He's going through a lot right now with having stones removed and everything, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for bringing him and my sister-in-law to believe the real good news, Lord, that you've done it all, Lord. And bringing them to the faith and understanding, Lord, that healing is a right of your children, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing him through the rest of this last surgery, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to do something that will show him, give him some kind of miracle, Lord, that will show him that it was you, and man not get any glory in it at all, Lord, whatever that is, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for doing that, that he will have to confess that it was you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy. Here comes a good one. I'm going to tell y'all something. Here come a good one. Get ready.
Well, I'm healed, number one. Number two, my daughter has her nose part gone. She's going to talk to the surgeon tomorrow at 1:00, and I'm believing that he's going to say, "Why, Angie, your nose looks so good. I don't think we should do surgery right away. Let's give it some more time, and we'll let Jesus work on it some more, and heal it completely." But he won't say that. But I just want her to hear those words. And Lord, I ask that you get her to quit smoking completely. She said she's almost stopped, but almost stopped doesn't work. She needs to quit completely. And I believe that the Lord wants her to quit also. So it's not just the surgeon saying that. I believe the Lord wants her to do that. For his healing too. So, Lord, I just give her that desire to quit smoking and take and just help her, Lord, because she can't do it by herself. So, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for doing all this, and I give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we made that prayer some time ago, and we just believe, Lord, that you're working in her to take all that addiction away from her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, we had a guy in town here, our little tiny town we live in, comes by from time to time and does little projects around our place. And he came by yesterday and told me that he had been real busy going to the hospital and things like that because his son, he's in high school, he's 18 years old. His son has some kind of strange electrolyte problem and some kind of problem with calcium in his body. And they had to take him from locally over to the big hospital over in Portland and life flight him over there. And it's just been kind of a mess. They're trying to fix his problem with diet, but there's not a whole lot of money to pay for hospitals and doctors and all that kind of stuff. And the boy certainly needs to get healed up. So have everybody pray in agreement for his healing. I don't know his name. I just know his dad's name, Ryan. I don't know the son's name. But anyway, Father, pray you heal up Ryan's son here. Pray you bless him real good in the name of Jesus. I pray you bring a whole family to yourself, Father. Get them saved and have them trust in you for their healing. And, Father, we pray you bless them in this with the healing and with getting saved. And thank you for doing a good work in them, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. For bringing them in. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, I want to read you something. It's been reiterated many times, and the Lord's fed up with it. I'm just relaying now, okay? This comes from June the 9th. I don't know, some of you probably already heard it. I know some of you have. It's been in the local, but the outreach, I'm not sure anybody's heard it. Some of you probably have, but anyway, it's a warning and it's been a rewarning. Eve said this dream really disturbed her. David said it disturbed me too. I pray we all pay attention to it. I put my notes in as I read. And then I realized as I got closer to the bottom that my interpretation was the same as hers. It appears the Lord is giving a last warning to those who are receiving this news junkie / political seed that they are being separated from his kingdom. I get a steady flow of this stuff in the elders' box. Most of it I don't read. Some of it I use to pray and change things. It's not necessary for you to do anything but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as the bride will do. I am praying you will hear this. I am sure it's correct. And this was from David. Eve says, I dreamed this morning that I was standing a few feet in front of a brother. He was in a relationship with Goldie Hawn. The brother here represents those who sow the seed of the sins represented below. Goldie represents those receiving the seed of this sin. Goldie Hawn was raised in the Jewish religion, representing falling away from the type which represents the church or people of God, and worked as a professional dancer before going into acting. David says, an entertainer who acts out a lie by pretending to be someone or do something. Goldie means made of gold, and Hahn is a German surname. The only meaning I could find for Hahn is that it is sometimes referred to a Hawaiian. This reminded me of the dream I had of a Hawaiian senator in the left mobile home who was begging for another chance and asking what he was going to do, and was told by the big boss over the phone that it was too late. Goldie represents those who worship the golden image in Babylon/America and are a part of that image of the beast. The father was standing to my right and a little behind me. Even though I was not able to turn and look upon him directly, I could see him in my mind through my spiritual eyes through the top of my head. He was like 8 feet tall and had white hair and a white beard, and he was big like a giant to my perception. The brother and Goldie were both holding onto something with their arms in front of them. Goldie was holding a stone statue of some sort of bird of prey that looked like an eagle, with his head turned to the side and its wings spread out at the sides. The eagle of Babylon/America, in parentheses. David says, studying U.S. politics as a patriot at the expense of the spiritual man. We are not patriots to the U.S., but to the supernatural, meaning above the natural kingdom of God. As Christians worldwide, we are only one race and belong to only one nation. But we as sojourners reside in our individual worldly nations and must spiritually come out from among them. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Eve goes on and says, and the brother was holding a huge transfusion bag of blood that was about a third of his body length in front of his torso. He was gripping it at the top with his right hand and supporting at the bottom with his left hand. It was heavy and cumbersome, and he was struggling to support its weight. David says, the life or nature of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. Which is why we are exhorted not to partake of the blood of beasts, spiritually speaking. Ecclesiastes 3:19, for that which befalls the sons of men, befalls beast. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, and man hath no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity. David goes on and says, when we drink the blood of the Lamb through the scriptures, we come into Jesus' image. If we drink the blood of beasts by studying man too much, we become patriotic and lose out on what God offers us as sons of God and don't bear fruit. The bag of blood had a label on it with the blood type of the donor, and the bag was hooked into his vein and was transfusing him. I knew in the dream that this blood was incompatible with the brother, and I knew it wasn't what he needed. David says, our hunger should be for the good news. Then Eve says, I asked him why he was carrying it around and why he didn't just get rid of it. David said, Eve here is representing the bride, and this opinion represents the bride's opinion of politics and patriotism, which infects all nations and causes wars between them. This causes an appetite for war in the flesh. James 4:1. Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not. This appetite to fight in the flesh is not of God's kingdom, but is a lust of the flesh. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. If you'll notice, our kingdom is not of this world. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. And Eve goes on and she said, but he wouldn't hear of getting rid of it. He insisted that it was his assurance and that it would keep him safe and protected. He used it as some kind of shield. David says, hiding under the blood covering of Jesus is our security, but being a mainlining news junkie will destroy Christ in us. Romans 16:19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple unto that which is evil. In other words, study the good news, which is the power of God unto salvation, not the bad news, which makes one bitter, angry, unforgiving, and judgmental, which causes one to war in the flesh. This made the father very angry at the brother, and I watched as father reached out and touched the bag of blood, rebuking the brother with his words for trusting in a false thing and his own works of self-justification. The blood began to boil inside the bag and turned into acid going through the brother's veins. He immediately began to writhe in severe pain as the acid blood ate him up from the inside, and he perished right there in front of me. She said, this was horrible to watch. I just couldn't believe this was happening to him. And I was afraid of our father because of his anger. I had never seen his judgment executed so swiftly and with absolute finality. David said, we have been warned of this patriotic news junkie spirit too much to ignore God. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Then Eve goes on, immediately father turned to Goldie Hawn. David says, those who received this seed and also rebuked her for her idolatry. He touched the eagle in her arms and it began to burn like coal and it turned black. And David says, and it's burning now at the hands of the anarchist. The blackness and burning spread to her hands and arms, and she began to burn and turn black also. She turned into dust and ash, and father sent a gust of howling wind and blew her away. Those who refused to give up their idols of politics and patriotism and idolatry with the beast of Babylon will be judged swiftly now. David says, churches on the left and right are being burned, and they are, as you've probably heard in the news. She said, Eve said, I was horrified and shocked at these judgments and how swiftly they were executed by the Father. It didn't seem like he was giving any more time or chances to those who refused to listen to me. David said, God has sent many warnings through Eve about this news junkie spirit. And he says, not that I'm anything, but I understood in the dream that Father was at my side to judge those who refused to listen to warnings or words of wisdom and discernment that I told them. I believe I'm representing the body of the bride, and the Father is standing at the bride's right hand now to bring swift and absolute judgment upon all those who refuse to listen to the wisdom and the warning from the mouths of the first fruits. Then I woke up. She said, I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on simple in Proverbs 9:4. And she says, 1 through 18 for context. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beef. She has mingled her wine, her blood. She hath also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple or ignorant of the wisdom of God, let him turn in hither. As for him that is void of understanding, she saith to him, come, eat ye of my bread, and drink of the wine, or the blood, which I have mingled. Leave off, ye simple ones, and live, and walk in the way of understanding. Verse 7, he that corrects a scoffer gets to himself reviling, and he that reproves a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, which is the wisdom of God, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. And as the Lord inferred above, if thou art wise for thyself. And if thou scoffest, thou alone shall bear it. The foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. And she sits at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call to them that pass by, who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that is void of understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Eve says, I asked for a word for the brother, and the bag of blood by faith at random, and my finger was on drink in the concordance under Amos chapter 4 and verse 1. And then she said verse 1 through 6 for context. Verse 1, hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, that oppress the poor, that crush the needy, that say unto their Lord, bring and let us drink. The Samaritans were Jewish by religion, but not by blood. Let us be born of the seed of God. And then verse 2, the Lord Jehovah has sworn by his holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you that they shall take you away with hooks and your residue with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches and every one straight before her. And you shall cast yourselves into Harmon, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress to Gilgal and multiply transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 days. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings, and publish them, for this pleases you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then Eve says, I ask Father for a word by faith at random for the woman Goldihawn, and received by faith at random. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Finger was on determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The beast causes apostates to cease offering up their flesh in the fiery trial. And she goes on, and upon the wing of abomination shall come one that makes desolate. That's the beast formed in the holy place. And even unto the full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So that's the end of that dream. The Lord, this is actually not the first dream we've had about being news junkies. there ain't nothing that happens on the news. And I'm going to tell you something. I've just been as guilty as everybody else about getting into the news and finding out, you know, you say, I'm going to just read the headlines. Man, I get sucked in some of those headlines. Next thing you know, it's an hour later. He don't want us messing with it because he's in charge. He knows what he's doing. And it's through our prayers that he gets this gospel out. That he wants us, folks, he wants us to be ready for the time ahead. It makes no difference what's going on around us. He wants us to trust him implicitly. And so don't believe that you can sneak in there and get you a bunch of news and get by with it. It's not going to work. He says he's going to judge swiftly. And I'm just telling you what God said. Told Eve. He's going to judge swiftly. Execute this thing swiftly. I don't want to die yet. I want to see all this stuff happen. I do. I want to see the miracles that God's going to do. I want to see the revival come in. I want to see everything that God's fixing to do. The glory of God is fixing to do. So I had to repent from all of that. I just tell you, you know, I was just as guilty as the next person. This is for everybody that calls himself in the bride. And that's all I'm going to say about that, unless somebody else got some comments. You can do one of two things. I'm going to say one more thing, okay? Can I do that? I'm going to say one more thing. You can do one of two things. You can either heed this warning, or you can reap the fruit of it. That's what God is telling us right now. You either do what he says, or it's going to take you out. I'm not saying anybody in here has done that, but I can tell you I have in the past. I ain't doing it no more. God's more important to me than the news. Okay. I open it up for discussion. Comments, anybody? I don't see your hand, Missy. Anybody got any comments on this?
Okay, Michael.
Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead.
You know, what the Lord just really impressed me with is that, you know, if you... Because I've had my moments of this getting caught up in, okay, well, this one says this and this one says this. There's so much disinformation out there. You don't know what the truth is unless the Lord shows you what the truth is. But really the truth he wants us to know is the real good news. So that when someone brings up the subject, like my mom did with me earlier on the phone, that all I can say to her is there's so much disinformation out there. And I didn't say one word about what I heard, what I didn't hear. You know, I did not, because the Lord just finally showed me the only news you need to tell people is the good news, is that God is their protection, that he's the only surefire thing that's going to protect them, period. You know, and that God has promises for us and we need to believe them, you know? And because if you're looking at the news or repeating things that you've heard, you know, you're getting caught up in that whole thing and you have your eyes on the things of this world rather than on the promises of God, God's kingdom and what he's doing. And that's what's going to come out of your mouth and not the good news. You know, so, and that's what the Lord just Amen. Really impressed me with. So,
that's true. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, yesterday I went to the bank, and because tomorrow's Canada Day, there's a long lineup, and they have you wait 6 feet apart outside. And so I'm just walking up and down the line, maybe scanned it twice. I went, because it went around the corner. And then I passed by this guy twice, and he had to be in his late 50s. He had a mask on, and he started screaming at me, "Do you have a mask?" And then I was just silent. And he said, "Get away from me. Stay 6 feet away from me." You know, it's just because I passed by him maybe twice, you know, just to check out the line. And I was shocked. I didn't say anything back to him, because you can't say anything when a person talks like that, because you gotta not let anything come out of you, because there's nothing you can say to a person who's in that much fear. Because the Lord showed me later on that this man, who's probably my age, that was put into him by what he's watching. And there's a lot of unrest out there. I can tell in the people, you know, they're on a very small fuse ready to go off, a lot of them around here anyway. And I just walked away, went and stood in the back of the line and put my name in on the guy's iPad, who's the banker out there, checking the line and making sure everyone's in line. And that was what happened to me. But as for the patriotic spirit, you know that from the golden head down to the iron legs, it was always represented at first by just a single nation. And then the iron spread to the nations, but every single one of these had a nation in them. And the last one is iron and clay, and you know that it's the dragon and the beast afterwards, and that's going to be a corporate body of nations. And this is why I believe God doesn't want us to listen to the other fivefold ministry of government, with respect to what the scripture says when it comes to government and legislation and even religion and professors and teachers and those very active evangelist journalists, because we have a different fivefold ministry, and both have their corporate body of witnesses under them. So they say fivefold because they're mentioning the leadership, but there is the witness arm that holds the five that's on your right hand and the five that's on the other left hand there. So we're on the right hand. We're with the sheep. We're not with the goats. That's what I get. And there is no Christian nation. You know, you're supposed to seek for that nation. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. So I just want to obey. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We have a nation. Our nation is the kingdom of God. That's the one that we're patriotic to. We're not patriotic to these worldly nations at all. We can't be, and still call yourself a Christian. Thank you, Lord. I know that we all want our country to be filled with the Holy Spirit and having revival everywhere, but it ain't happening right now. He's looking for a clean bride to disciple his people coming into the kingdom here shortly. And that's what's been the holdup, is people get caught up. I believe, I'm giving you my opinion. The holdup of this thing starting is because of the bride is not quite clean enough yet. And, you know, I want Jesus. I want God. I don't want nothing else but God. I mean, anything that you look at on the news, or read in the news. How many of you have gotten angry over reading the news? I have. One time, I'm back in 1900, and no, I'm telling you, I've gotten mad because of the things that are going on. But you can't allow that to affect you. God wants us to be with our eyes on Him, and when we've got our eyes on Him, none of this stuff matters at all. He's doing it for one reason. That's to mature us, bring us into the kingdom so that we can people can look up to us. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Something happened this weekend that brought my situation pretty keenly, made me pretty keenly aware of where I was at. I was at a family get-together, which in our neck of the woods, we don't really care about. I mean, we just kind of stay to ourselves. We're not out there a lot. At least I'm not. So when we get together, we don't, like, get super conscious about, you know, distance and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we all, you know, when you go through line of the potluck or pot blessing type situation, everybody uses the common spoon and everybody touches the spoon. And, you know, anyway, somebody there who is a relative, who doesn't show up very often, started kindly suggesting that we be a little more careful and suggested we, you know, so, but my reaction was to really get inside of me, to get really upset with her, because I thought, here's somebody representing the CDC, representing the WHO, and is, you know, in my mind, it just went on and on, and just, this is the enemy. I was pretty upset, and I had to check myself. And actually, I said some stuff that made it clear to her that I was not pleased with her suggestions. What that means is that I was holding some bitterness or resentment against the establishment and the people that are trying to do all this false flag stuff. You see what I'm saying? There's some resentment there that has built up. Well, that can't be. So I had to actually been trying to get in touch with this person. I don't have their phone number, so I had to get it from somebody else. And they took a while to answer because they weren't sure who I was. But once they figured out who I was, it was fine. But anyway, she accepted my apology. But, you know, I had to eat humble pie, which is good. But just my behavior wasn't. So it's, you know, I didn't really realize how I was feeling until all of a sudden the situation arose. And then all of a sudden I realized I was in some serious trouble. So anyway, just wanted to say that. I think the Lord did that specifically to show me where I was at. And so I'll turn it back to you, Michael.
Okay. Well, you know, that you're arguing with people that are not believers, because a believer wouldn't be scared. And so you have to be a little bit weaker to them, you know, instead of just saying, you know, I apologize that you're an unbeliever and you don't believe and trust God for the promises that He showed us in the Bible. Please forgive me. No, you don't say that. But that's exactly what's going on.
As tempted as I was to say that, I didn't say that.
Well, you're a good man. You're a good man, Malcolm.
I mean, what you know, this has happened in many circles in other situations, but people will use another authority to boost their own authority, and that's often what's going on. This is what was going on with her. She was gaining authority over the situation by borrowing authority from false science and all this kind of stuff, and all the mainstream media hype. And So it's you know, you can see what's going on. People do this in religious circles all the time. They'll quote some person that everybody else respects, and then gain authority over the people that they're talking to because those other people also respect this authority, this religious authority. And I've seen this for years and years and years. It's very subtle, but it's just a way for people to gain authority over others. And I could see that was what was going on. Now, just for me to see it doesn't mean I have to act on it. It's something I can pray about, but I'm not to have bitterness rising up and go on the warpath against people who are doing this. So, anyway, back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Let me find out something here right quick. Barbara's having trouble getting on with her phone. I don't know much about phone people getting on. So if somebody can help her. Hadn't she been on the phone before, Missy? Yeah, she's been on the phone before. So I don't know what's going on. Huh?
I think so. Yeah. She's been on before.
I don't know what the problem is. I think you still have to put the password in, don't you, Dave?
I don't know. I'll try my phone and see what happens.
You don't have to put a password in. For me, all I have to do is put in I just dial the number for Zoom, and there's tons of numbers, so I can give one that I use. But just dial that number, and then you enter the conference number. Do you want me to give it?
It's already been given. She already got
it. Yeah. So the conference number, just dial the conference number, and then it will say, it asks for your participant number.
Well, she's been on in the participant, in the room, in the waiting room in there, and I've admitted her, and she doesn't come in for whatever reason. I don't know why.
She doesn't have to press pound. She doesn't have to give a participant number. All she does is press pound, and then she waits for you to acknowledge her.
Yeah. Well, simple. I acknowledged her already. And does she have to do anything after I acknowledge her?
No. No.
Oh, okay.
So from then on, she just either mutes herself or doesn't mute herself, or she raises her hand. That's all she has for options.
But she has to enter the conference number. In other words, that number that's in the link when you join online.
Missy, she's already been in the waiting room.
She was on this. She was on this screen just a moment ago.
Yeah.
And it came on, and she was on for about a minute.
Off she went. She's got a bad connection or something.
Yeah, she said her internet was out, and it's probably giving her a problem. Well, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we command this to cease. In the name of Jesus, we command all spirits off all of Barbara's technology.
Yes, Lord.
Her devices, and we thank you, Lord, for the authority, and we just cast this all down, and that Barbara can get in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Barbara to come on in. Jesus' name. Okay, she'll be right here. Go ahead, Paula.
I think a spirit that's also linked with the whole news junkie thing is pride. And if you don't participate, you definitely need to. Yeah, there needs to be humility. The other day, because you know people think. If you can't contribute to something in the conversation on whatever, you know, the most terrible news of the day is, then they just assume you're extremely ignorant and, you know, stupid or whatever. And I had one lady ask me, you know, did you see this and this and this? And I said, no, I actually haven't heard of it. And she's like, are you living under a rock? And I just thought, yeah, I should have said, no, I'm living on top of a rock, you know. But so yeah, you need to kind of just arm yourself for that kind of reaction, you know, because there's definitely, you know, people pride themselves on being able to make a witty comment or give their analysis on something, and if you can't do that, then it's definitely a bit humiliating at times, but worth it.
Pride is, you won't know. You want to know what everybody else don't know, you know. I found out it was, I know more than he does because I know this. Because I read that just a minute ago. You know, it's got to be breaking news. He don't want us doing it. He don't want us doing it. Okay, let's see who this is. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I came back to the States, because I grew up overseas, I didn't know, I hadn't, plus my parents hadn't seen, we didn't have a TV in the house when we were in the States before we left in 67, the States. So I didn't have any, I've never seen Gilligan's Island or any other, you know, I haven't seen any of that stuff. And so what I found out, though, is when I came back to the States, there were jokes, little insinuations and things, and I hadn't seen any of those movies or shows or anything. And I was really out of the loop. You just have to, I mean, I think it's just the same principle. You have to deal with people, you know, kind of ostracizing you because you don't really fit in. And I think that's just going to continue and probably increase, you know, as we, it's easy to, you want to be aware of the news. You want to be aware of what's going on and, you know, and all this stuff. But we need to be obedient and bow out and just stop, you know, being on top of what's going on in the world as far as the news goes. That's how I'm understanding this. And which means you're going to be misunderstood and people are going to think you're, you know, stupid and not with the program if you don't know what's happening. You just have to make decisions and see what's more important for you.
Well, I can tell you this much. If your life depended on it, would you quit reading and studying the news? That's the question. That's the answer also. Lord, serious about it. Okay, anybody else got any comments on this? Welcome, Julie, back. yeah, Julie.
I was making some tea.
Awesome.
I think if, like, one of the thoughts I had or one of the concerns I had was, is if there was something really, really relevant that we needed to know that was going on in the world or going around our local towns, communities that we need to be aware of, God would make sure that somebody would let me know. I mean, that was just like, Lord, if there's something I have to know, like, you know, somebody told me, you know, blah, 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 about you have to wear a mask. And, you know, because I wasn't sure about all that, and they made it law and all that stuff. So God spoke through somebody to let me know to go search it out, that kind of thing. And so there's always, God will let you know if there's something you need to know, what's going on in the world or what's going on in your local area or whatever. And because that's a concern for me. It's like, Lord, well, how am I supposed to know what's going on around me? How am I supposed to know what I should really be focusing on and praying for people around me or whatever? And that wasn't really he wasn't pleased with that. We'll just say, it's like, no, don't worry about that. I'll show you what to be praying for. You just pray the scriptures and you just pray as I lead you. And he will show us. If there's something that's going on that's urgent, we need to know about, somebody will tell us. And that's all I would want to share about that. And I think also one more thing is, like Malcolm alluded to it there, is like, we are going to be persecuted because we don't fit in. We don't fit in. And Paula said that too, you know, we do not fit in. We are, you know, really odd ducks, so, you know, and get used to it. it's going to happen. You're going to be hated by every nation. Every person has an antichrist spirit who doesn't understand you. They're they're going to mock you, they're going to ridicule, they're going to think you're weird, they're going to say terrible things to your face or whatever, and you're just going to, whatever, I'm safe, I have peace, you know, and it's just part of the persecution and getting prepared for greater things. So God brings them across my path that he wants me to talk to, and they say something about, did you hear this, you hear that? I'm like, no, thanks for letting me know. You know, whatever, you know.
What planet are you from, you know?
Yeah. I just spend my time.
Know.
You know, and then sometimes like the Lord does give me an opportunity to say, it's like, well, you know, I used to watch the news, and it made me anxious and worried and fearful, and I quit watching it because I didn't want to feel that way, you know. So I'm just kind of planting seeds there for other people, you know, when I speak that to them. How do you want to feel, right? Keep watching it, and you're just going to get more anxious and more fearful and more worried. That's it.
I want to feel loved.
Yeah.
You know what?
Me too.
Okay. Go ahead, Judy or Sue, whoever that is.
Yeah,
that's me. I would like to agree with what Julie's saying. I believe that was good. And I would like to read a scripture that kind of backs it up. If that's okay.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, it's Philippians 4, starting at 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known, be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, how much truth do we get out of media? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and God of peace will be with you. So what does the media have to offer us? What does the world have to offer us? Nothing. Nothing but negative. You know, nothing but evil. If they're not following Christ, it's all bad. It's all evil. It's we're to think on the right, on the good things. Think on what Christ wants us to think on, not on the world and its systems. So you know, because if we do think on the world, then what's going to come out of our mouth? It's not going to be good. It's going to be evil. That's what I try to base my walk on, what the word says when he's talking about, you know, what we are to think on. And I have to battle that a lot of times because anxiety can affect me and I don't want it to affect me. So it helps me when I have songs to the Lord, when he gives me songs, that helps me a lot, keep my life in the right standing with him so that I can think on those things that are good. And there's another scripture that's coming to me about life and not death, you know, where to focus on the life and not death, blessings and not cursings, you know, and everything the world has to offer is not good for us. It's like bad weeds. Got to get them out of the garden.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
You know what Julie was saying earlier about, you know, reading the news and stuff and whatever, making her anxious. I can totally relate to that. You know, absolutely. That's what it would do to me. It would make me anxious. And I was reminded just a little earlier too about something that I like to pray about. There's a neighbor that I talk to now and then over in another part of the development, and her name is Erin, and she has a dog named Maya. She's a golden retriever. And she always barks at me and goes nutty every time I walk by if she's out. But anyway, Erin was out on their, out on the, at the, sitting out front with Maya, and I said hi to her. And right after, as I started walking on, the Lord, I saw Erin was reading something. I couldn't tell what it was. And I've seen her before with actual books reading, and the Lord just, you know, I kept walking, and he was just like telling me he wanted me to go back and talk to her, you know. And early on in the whole COVID thing, I spoke something of faith briefly to her. I don't remember exactly what it was. Anyway, and we had a brief conversation, I believe it was. And anyway, I went back to her and I asked her. I said I noticed you were reading, and she says I was just. I said you're a reader. I said I've noticed before. I believe that I've seen you reading a book sitting out. And she said yeah. And I said well, you're a born again believer. And she says. And she kind of looks down and she says, yes. And I thought, you know, and at first I thought, well, maybe she's not. And later I felt like the Lord was saying, she is, but she knows she's not where she's supposed to be or something. I just sensed the Lord was telling me that. I don't know. But anyway, so I told her, I said to her, you know, mentioned about, you know, COVID and all this, the craziness going on and everything. And I said, I have a book that's full of scripture. It's called God's Vaccine, and it talks about, you know, God's protection for you. And I said it'll encourage you, it'll build your faith. And you know, just talked to her about that and asked her if she would like it. She said yeah. And so I told her, well, I'd go home and bring it back to her later. And I did, and I put one of my flyers in with it and wrote her a little note, you know, just something about, you know, there's so much disinformation out there. And I said, but the only truth that we need to know is that we have God's protection, and the truth of the Lord's, you know, something to the effect, the truth of the Lord's, the gospel, you know, the truth of the gospel of the Lord's sacrifice for us. I don't remember exactly what all I said, but I wrote a little note and I went up to the door, and her son opened the door, and I heard her say thanks, and I said, yeah, you know. Anyway, so I just wanted to pray, because you know, I you know, it's just like I don't feel like I get very many chances, you know, I distinctly remember now, I'm pretty sure I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to have someone that I can, you know, tell the good news to today, you know, or, you know, and so he impressed it upon me. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, the enemy would want you to keep walking. I almost kept walking, and, you know, well, that was just you. And, you know, it's like, no. You know, that's what I told her. I said, you know, what came to me was to talk to you about this, and that was the Lord prompting me, you know. But anyway, so Lord, I just ask you, Lord, I thank you for your anointing on the book, God's Vaccine, and the flyer with the 7 steps. Lord, and I just ask you to open Erin's heart and her mind, enlighten the eyes of her heart, give her a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that when she reads this, Lord, that it just so witnesses to her and encourages her, builds her up in faith, Lord, and causes her to have a renewed, stronger relationship with you, one that she's never had before, Lord, and just causes her to repent a lot and just by the things that she reads, Lord, you know. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I ask you that that if she does have any questions, that she not hesitate to call me. I left my phone number on the post-it, Lord, and Lord, I look forward to some awesome edifying conversations with her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that this isn't going to return void, Lord, because I know that you're the one that impressed me to go back and talk to her. The enemy wouldn't do that. He's such a liar. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You know, there's often times, you know, it's like you stop and think, you know, after the fact, you know, well, that was an opportunity where, you know, like I could have said something to somebody or this or that, you know, and it's like, you know, and it's like the Lord reminds me, you know, he just says to me, you know, if I wanted you to say something, I would have told you that you, you know, sometimes we can kind of get self-condemning that, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that, and it didn't come to me at the time, you know, and it comes to you after the fact, and it's like, you know, and that's just my feeling is that's not true. You know, if the Lord wanted you to say something, he would have put it in your heart to say something or to do something or whatever, you know. So thank you, Lord.
Oh my.
You see, that's just the accuser who's trying to make you feel bad that you didn't do enough works.
Right, it's condemnation. Exactly. I know the enemy tries to do that to us, and that's, you know, that's why I said about that to, you know, because I know I'm not the only one that the enemy does that kind of thing to. You know, it's like, you know, you're like, gosh, you know, I know all this stuff, you know, and it's like, you know, the mentality of Christianity is works. And if you're not out there doing this, that, and the other thing, well, you're just a horrible Christian. No, it's about being led by the Spirit of God. He knows who's going to have ears to hear and eyes to see. He knows who he's given it to. You know, who's open, who has a soft heart and is going to receive. And sometimes he wants you to tell somebody, even though they may scoff at you or whatever, and that may just so that you, you know, learn something out of that, of like dying to self, or, you know, you planted seeds even though they didn't want to receive them at the time. Those seeds are planted, and he'll make them sprout and grow later, you know.
Just share what God wants you to share, and he'll do the rest. It ain't nothing we can do anyway.
Exactly. Michael, you were starting to say something. You said, oh my gosh, or something.
I'm going to save it until I can read the whole thing. It wasn't news.
Okay.
But it was news.
Oh gosh, curiosity is getting us now.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Patrick, what do you think about what the Lord was telling us?
I, believe it or not, I was, when I was getting ready to eat dinner, I was eating dinner, I flipped on the TV.
No, you didn't.
And my son was here, and we were eating dinner and whatever, and then I sat down, and I flipped through the channels after the end of it, and we were talking. And I flipped over to a YouTube video or something, put something on, I don't remember, X22 report or something like that, because I was didn't want to listen to any TV. So But I listened to that for about 10 minutes, and we were talking through the process, even once I wasn't really listening to it. But anyway, when I turned it off, I turned it off in the middle because I was getting ready to come down here to this call. It was about a quarter till. And my son started talking, and I had to make an observation, and this may be a reproof from the Lord, number one, and it may be also an observation about the thing, but he was very agitated, to say the least, at my having, you know, that he pegged me, and maybe rightfully so, pegged me as a Fox News junkie or something. Even though I can't say that I even watch it that much anymore. But anyway, he pegged me, but the point being was the conversation was related to, you take everything they say on that particular, or everything the Republicans say as right, and everything that the Democrats say as wrong. And the conversation from his perspective was basically focused around that concept. And there was seemed to be a lot of agitation, you know, like it was a very, shall we say, animated discussion. So, but I realized that you can't explain a perspective or explain anything with words that is going to convince somebody one way or the other, if they're focused upon that level of, I'm not sure that they're so agitated about that particular, say, Democrat versus Republican scenario. So for whatever reason, I started talking about, well, what is God's purpose in this whole thing? Then I went back and explained a few things about, you know, God being in control of the whole thing, not only the whole thing in this, say, political spectrum, but the whole thing in the world. And he selects governments, he selects rulers and leaders in nations as it seems fit for him, in order to fulfill his particular purpose in the world today. And then there was the comments made based upon, well, you think everything that Trump does is correct, and everything the Democrats, you know, think is not. And I was able to take it back up to the God's perspective. Why did God choose any one of these rulers, whether it be Trump, whether it be Kennedy, whether it be any one of our presidents before? Why did he pick, you know, Trump for this particular position now? Why is that? What's God's purpose in doing that? Because you can pick apart certain things that he says and certain things that he does. God doesn't choose perfect vessels that are absolutely, that are righteous in every aspect in order to perform his work. He chooses people that are going to accomplish his particular purpose. And I'm speaking about leaders and presidents and whatever in the world. And I mentioned that God gives nations and people the particular leader that they need, not the particular leader that they want necessarily. And but the overall, I mean, and I finally had to leave it at that point. Well, if you're wondering why all this is happening, why don't you ask the Lord and tell him that you don't agree with this choice here, and to convince you or show you why the particular political climate is the way it is, or whatever. And I had to leave it at that to come down and join in the meeting. But it is kind of interesting. But the observation that I made is that, even though I think when the first time that David brought this up, was I certainly repented of that political spirit. Not sure that I had it in that way or whatever, but I have noticed that my whole desire for watching like Fox News and all the things, it's the desire is not there the way it was. Because it was such a thing that I felt compelled that I had to have the information in order to be able to know how to pray and this and that and whatever. But again, a lot of what other people are saying is that I think the Lord kind of freed me up from that need to have that information. But the thing that I notice is that If you focus on just that, that you are focusing on just that perspective, we're focusing on a level that is too low as far as the influencing factors. The fact of the matter is, God is devising and orchestrating this whole process that's happening here. Whether it looks good or whether it looks bad, God is behind the whole thing. And when you are focused on, say, let's just say you're a constant, conservative or whatever, Fox News, a junkie or whatever it would be, people, when they peg you and communicate with you and they know that point, then whatever perspective they have in their mind that paints a picture of an individual that is that way, that's the way you get communicated to. In other words, you get communicated, the conversation is always based on the fact of what you believe, what you say, what you whatever, when it may very well in fact not have anything to do with what you believe. But you're painted in that picture. And so I can see why the Lord would want us to shift away from that and focus upon him, because the salvation and the focus that all of us need are upon him. God's solutions to these issues, these problems in life. And ultimately, I think that's what people are looking, that they're looking for that solution, because there is no solution to arguing it back and forth, especially in this particular climate, when you can't really talk with people, because there's such a high level and intensity of bitterness and anger and whatever it is that's out there right now. So anyway, I still need to, I guess, consider if this whole thing that happened tonight was a correction or maybe the Lord was shaking me up or giving me a better understanding or both. It probably is all three together, you know. So anyway, that's what I was thinking.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else got a comment or would like to share something, Dave? Let's see what. Yeah, Kelly went into hospital with a heart problem. They were putting a balloon in her heart and discovered a mass into her lungs and stopped the balloon procedure. They were going to do a lung scan today, but decided to put it off because she was not up to it. She also has a long-term lung problem that has to do with an autoimmune disease, something I can't pronounce. We'll join the club. And, of course, she has MS as well. Okay. Well, we come against this heart problem. We command that heart to operate like it's supposed to right now in the name of Jesus. And we command that mass in her lungs to dissolve right now in the name of Jesus. And we command full air into her lungs. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to get the glory for Kelly's complete healing. Because the doctors can't do anything, it doesn't seem like. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for Kelly's complete healing. Healing and deliverance from all of these infirmities in the name of Jesus. How old is she, Leah? Do you know?
She's probably about 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Lord, we thank you for a complete recovery in you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share on what we've been talking about? How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I knew that one was going to get me. I have that same thing where I go in there and I just read the headlines. But I say, well, I'm not going to get involved in it. I'm not going to read anything really deep or get, you know, because I try to avoid the factious thing. But, you know, it's like, it's, that's, that I admit that that's not where the Lord wants us to be. So I'll confess that sin. I wasn't trying to be sinful, but as much as I think we've nailed a few things, and Paula nailed a few things I thought was good, as about knowing what's going on in a prideful way, not being prideful, but you, that way you, if something comes up, you're able to converse or share, or you have this back and forth where you're sharing information, but it's not really information the Lord wants us to share. And tonight, you know, before I came on, the Lord gave me Leviticus 11, and he gave me 11:46, but it was like, you know, he gave me Leviticus a couple times today. And I thought, why are you giving me Leviticus? Because it talks about, you know, this is talking about eating clean and unclean animals and stuff, you know, the creepy things versus the things that are in the water. And I was thinking, I didn't quite understand it. You know, I said, Lord, I just, you know, I don't understand what you're telling me. I don't understand Leviticus that well. And now all of a sudden we're talking about this as, oh, well, I get it now. So here he is. If I go up to I won't read the whole thing, because, you know, if you go through that whole Leviticus 11, it's really in depth. What you eat, what you don't eat, creepy type of animals and good animals. I mean, it just gets real, you know, real in depth about what the law was. But the intent here is, you understand it. If I start at 11:44, it says, I'm going to go up to 11:43. It says, you shall not make yourself abominable with any creepy things that creeps, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord of your God. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any kind of creepy thing that moves on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animal and the bird and every living creature that moves in the waters and every creature that creeps on the earth, to make a distinction between unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. So he's really talking about what are we supposed to be eating in this world, not what food we're eating. What are we taking in our bodies? What are we taking in our minds? What are we absorbing ourselves in that's clean and unclean? So he doesn't want us to be eating things that are unclean, which the world is going to offer us, all the unclean, polluted words and thoughts and conversations and all the faction that's going on, the fighting. He doesn't want us participating in the unclean stuff. And then you had Sue brings up, you know, Philippians 4:8, which talks about, well, we're supposed to be dwelling on these good things, on the honorable things, on what's pure and just and lovely, and of a good report, and things that are, it says, good virtue. I looked up, what's a virtue? Something that's excellent, you know, and anything that's praiseworthy. Says, think about these things. That's what the Lord wants us on. He doesn't want us on this uncleanless worldly crap that's going to defile us. That's going to make us unclean. That's going to make us unholy to the Lord. And he gave us that word that, you know, this is a warning. This is probably a final warning. If we're going to be partaking of the unclean things in the world, it's going to defile us, and it's going to make us unholy. It's going to make us unsanctified. And we're supposed to be priests offering good offerings to the Lord. How can we offer anything good and holy to the Lord if we're full of vile, unholy things, creepy things that we're not supposed to be eating? So that's kind of what I'm getting out of this. And that's where the Lord kind of took this, just if you want me to share.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Dave.
Dave, can I get those references again? Leviticus.
That was Leviticus chapter 11, but he gave me 11:46 here. But if you go through the whole chapter 11, it's all the unclean stuff, the unclean animals. And then if you go up to Leviticus 6, he's talking about the priests, about making offerings and how they offer things and what they're supposed to eat, what they're supposed to burn. And so, and it's about, you know, if you're going to be a priest for the Lord, you got to, you know, you're going to offer things in a way that's holy to the Lord, and you're going to do it his way, not yours.
Amen. Yes, Sue.
I was just thinking when David was talking about that, blessed to hear what he was saying. It also made me think about, you know, Jesus saying that it's not what goes into us that defiles us, but what comes out of us. But if we're taking in stuff that can defile us, like he was saying, it will come out of our mouths and it will defile others. So I can see what he's saying in a sense, you know, why the Lord doesn't want us to partake these things, because they will defile us and cause us to defile others by it coming out of our mouth. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Barry Marilyn put on there 2 Timothy 2:4 as a reference. No soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. Amen. Go ahead, Will. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I just want to pray.
Go right ahead, brother.
Lord, I pray for everyone here and everyone that is in this UBM community, Lord, that we will take this warning extremely, extremely seriously, and that we will stop defiling ourselves with anything other than your word. Lord, it's also very tempting at times, especially when we're tired. After a hard day's work or a lot of challenges, Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me of that. I sort of feel tempted. Then it's my worst time for temptation, and I feel like I'm tired. I think there's a bit of anger there, Lord, or something that I'm tired now. Why is it expected for me now to resist? It's such hard work resisting at this hour or whatever, Lord. I just pray that you will cleanse me and build me up there, and anyone else that's struggling with facing temptations when they're extremely tired or when things are extremely, extremely tough. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us. Ach, Lord, I pray that you will work in us to overcome this warning that is so serious, Lord, and that you'll put the fear of God in all of us, that we will take this warning extremely, extremely seriously. Lord, and be merciful to us and also work in us now, Lord, to willing to do of your good pleasure and to resist Satan and to resist and to heed and to listen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that this prayer will be answered because we are believers, and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for putting in us to be able to, every one of us, to trust you in these things that you tell us and command us, because you know what you get best for us. And Lord, I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Bless my brother Will with lots of faith, Lord, in Jesus' name, and love. That's right, and love. Thank you, Father.
Sorry, Michael, I just wanted to add something. The Lord also spoke to me on, I think, Saturday. Also, yeah, not to arouse his jealousy about getting a seed of the word. He's going to be very, it looks like, yeah, you read this, I just sort of got my attention because I saw something about a very jealous king whose wife had an affair with the people under him, a person under him, and he was extremely jealous and he murdered his wife for that. So it's a fierce warning. And I took that as a warning, strange enough. I didn't know what it all was about. I knew that the Lord was warning me about something. So yeah, I just put the fear of the Lord in me tonight.
Yeah, amen. I think that's what the Lord wants in all of us is fear him. Look to him. And I believe everybody here will. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think everybody's just added a little bit of something that's pertinent to this conversation, and putting it all together just makes it an awesome truth, you know, coming out. And it's made a difference in me, too. So I appreciate that. Thank you all for your contributions. Maybe there's more to come. I don't know. But just everybody's input is very good. That's all.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
I know on Saturday I commented on this that the Lord gave me, and I have to look it up. It's not in front of me, about how we're supposed to be washing each other's feet after we washed the disciples' feet, after they had the Last Supper. And again, tonight he gives me Genesis 24:32. It says, the man came in the house, he unloaded the camels, he gave straw and provided for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. So, you know, the Lord's not really here to, squash you. He just wants to wash your feet right now. You know, he wants everybody to get washed up. clean us up from the world a little bit, and unload the camels where he's taking the burdens off us. He wants us to take the burden off this thing of the worldly ways and just get us refreshed again and clean and happy and get the burdens off us. So that's what we have here. We don't have this big condemnation thing going on here. Don't take it that way, but take it as the warning. But he wants to wash us up, take the burdens off us, you know, get us refreshed.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't anybody get under condemnation. If you've been doing it, just repent and get back on there. Look after Jesus. Go ahead, Denny or Debbie or both. You put the hand back up.
Well, okay. Now, that's good. I was going to read just about a half a page in Daniel. Of course, we all know the story. Daniel chapter 1, when the Hebrews were brought over. And the king gave the command that they were all to eat the same, you know, the food from the royal court ate. And then Daniel 1, chapter 8, I'll read, Daniel 1, verse 8, I'll read that one to the end of the chapter. Daniel made up his mind not to let himself become ritually unclean by eating the food and drinking the wine of the royal court. So he asked Asphanes to help him. And God made Asphanes sympathetic to Daniel. Asphanes, however, was afraid of the king. So he said to Daniel, "The king has decided what you must eat or drink. And if I don't, and if you don't look as fit as the other young men, he may kill me." So Daniel went to the guard whom Asphanes had placed in charge of him and his three friends. He said, "Test us for 10 days, he said. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare us with the young men who are eating the food of the royal court. Base your decision on how we look." He agreed to let them try it for 10 days. When the time was up, they looked healthier and stronger than all those who had been eating the royal food. So from then on, the guard let them continue eating vegetables instead of what the king provided. God gave the four young men knowledge and skill in literature and philosophy. In addition, he gave Daniel skill in interpreting visions and dreams. At the end of the 3 years set by the king, Asphanes took all the young men to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them all. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah impressed him more than any of the others. So they became members of the king's court. No matter what question the king asked or what problem he raised, these four knew 10 times more than the fortune tellers or musicians in his whole kingdom. So Daniel remained at the royal court until King Cyrus of Persia conquered Babylon.
A good parallel.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Some of that other stuff that defiles us. And like Missy said, you don't know what to believe anyway. There's conflicting stories, and it just ends up being a waste of time. But if we would, you know, eat God's word instead, I'm much better off.
It's a flesh hook, isn't it?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what it is. It's a flesh hook. I want to read a couple of scriptures that came to my mind in Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would." And in Romans 8:7, "Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And that's what God's telling us. He's not pleased. Go ahead, Will. Go ahead, Will. There you go.
It's actually Will's mom, so okay. It's Louise.
Yeah, Louise.
I normally sit and listen, and somebody says what I actually wanted to say, but time is running out, and I was thinking of when Jesus came to the disciples on the storm, when he had calmed the storm, and Peter said he wanted to walk on the water, and if Peter was looking at the water, he'd sink, and when he was looking at Jesus, he'd be able to do it. And I think it's the same here. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we'd walk on the water. And the same, if we keep our eyes focused on what's happening on the world, we're going to sink. So that's all I had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. Thank you, Lord. Boy, we are, Leon. We're coming up with some good stuff here. Go ahead, Pat.
I was listening to the message, Sunday's message, on the way to work today. And David was talking about Gideon and God using trumpets, in many of the examples there, God using trumpets to the to warn his people and to bring his people back in, so the thing that I was repeating over in my mind, and I don't want it to sound contrary to what we're talking about here tonight, but to take it more in terms of timing and God's timing. And I was thinking about the fact that God uses trumpets and repeating it, trumpets in this time frame where we are at right now, Cyrus, and our time in history, and what's God doing now? Well, he's blowing some trumpets to us right now to rally the troops and get focused back upon him. Who's in charge here, you know? So it was just kind of one of a word play that the Lord gave me today.
Amen. Amen. I know you wasn't trying to bring no news into this room. No, you wasn't. You weren't going to do that. I know you wasn't going to do that.
Didn't I promise that? Don't take this the wrong way.
You got that mega hat somewhere?
Oh, my.
I knew I'd take a hit on that, but I figured
that's good, though, Pat. Anyway. Yeah, that's good. Okay, I just had to dig you a little bit. All right, anyone else? There's a lot more scriptures that could go along with this, what we talked about tonight, you know, dying to flesh and not bringing the world into our life and all of those good ones. And that's about it, isn't it? Oh, Denny has got his, or Debbie has got their hand raised again. Praise God forevermore. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to read in Philippians 3, verse 14 and 20 and 21. Which mentioned scriptures. Verse Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm skipping down to 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Well, I mean, that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to pray and trust God to take care of everything down here, and we're to get our mind on the heavenly things and press on towards that goal, the prize of the high calling of God, and know where our citizenship truly is. We've We forget that sometimes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Okay, anyone else? The Galchenkos have been real quiet tonight.
I'm sorry, what did you say? What's been real quiet?
But we're learning a lot.
Here's for you. I said the Galchenkos have been quiet tonight.
Okay.
Theo and Leo, both. Okay, go again. Y'all look, here it is again. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
We have a song to sing.
Go for it.
It's scripture. Which scripture?
It's in Colossians 3, 2, I believe it is, or 3. First part of the Colossians about, said that the one, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So.
If ye then be seated with Christ,
seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Let's do it again.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good song.
Yes.
We'll start with
that. That's a cool song.
Okay. Well, it's been a good evening. I've learned a lot. I have been thrashed, and I'm going to walk the narrow road. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Folks, the man child is on the way.
Only thank vegetables and water for you, Michael.
Do what?
I said only vegetables and water for you.
No baloney?
No baloney.
Oh, man. Oh, man. All right, Lord. We can do it with your help. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father,
we get the baloney from you, Michael.
Well, thanks for that, Leah. I'll take that spiritually. All right, Father, I just praise you for all these wonderful brothers and sisters. And Lord, I thank you that we have been corrected. And we're all, even the ones that are listening that are not here, that we're going to do exactly what you want us to do because we want you most of all. We don't need the countries that we live in. What we need is you. You're the God of all creation. And we just praise you, Father, for your corrections. We know that you correct those you love, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for placing it in us to run after you with all our heart, because we know when we do that, all things are going to follow right behind you, the good things. And Lord, we just ask that you be with us, lead us, guide us, set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that for your chosen out there across this world, I ask for your protection upon them, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. I know that the man child is coming. He's on the way. And Lord, we need his guidance. We need his leadership. And I praise you, Father, that we're going to see him here soon. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, that we'll wake up refreshed in the morning. Lord, give some of us, the ones that have our dreamers, that some dreams about the things that are coming, Lord. And give us dreams about those things that you want us to pray about and to warn us against, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for bringing down the faction in both the government and your church, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your safety and your protection and your provision and all the things necessary for all of your chosen across this world in the name of Jesus, and your safety and your protection upon POTUS too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Good night, y'all. Let me get this thing going.
Wait, now.
Okay. Good night. Blessings to everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.